Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
Yeah, welcome along, folks. Another episode of Glory Days. I was going to say spelt with a Z, but I mean, if you found us already, you probably know that.
Yeah, I know.
That
yeah.
doesn't really make a lot of sense. But it is PJ and Jim's podcast. It's a sort of a little, it's a mishmash of some of the highlights of the week, a sort of a little mini best of. Plus, of course, well, who knows what's about to come out of the mouth of the great PJ Gallagher right now.
Oh, well, not a lot. I have to say, I have a story to tell you because I got tattooed again this week.
Tats!
Yeah, I got tattooed. I haven't been tattooed in so long. And I feel like, you know, I didn't know. I feel like it's amazing the dread you get for pain when you get older, isn't it?
Yeah.
Any pain at all. And I mean any pain at all. Like, you know, everything's such an inconvenience. And then, and I mean, like, you know the way that you get dread because of the take tablets, do I? Oh, Jesus, the swallowing of them. Are they big?
Yeah.
So it's not even the ailment anymore. You start worrying about how big it is to swallow. Oh, because is it a big gulp now? Oh, Jesus. And there's 5 of them. Oh, jeepers. And so anything like that, when that something as small as that starts to crawl up your bum, I'm bothering you.
You know that it's a slippery slope, basically.
So I booked a tattoo and all, and I didn't even pick what it was going to be. I was like, I don't care what it is.
Right.
I just want something to cover the skin because I've done that. I've gone like the plastic surgery. I don't see the tattoos anymore. I just see the skin that's left over.
Oh my God.
And I want to cover.
So are you
like carpet?
Are you sort of addicted?
I would say it. Yeah, I would say it's like, I feel like an unfinished house. I feel like a Celtic Tiger house.
Right.
You know, I feel like a.
You don't like any
no
sort of spare spots.
Not really. No, I don't. I don't really like. Well, not. I don't mind the face, neck, and hands.
Right.
I think they're supposed to be. You know.
Okay.
I don't mind because they're. You know, there's a lot of character in a person's face, neck, and hands, Jim. But the rest, I kind of like. I want
filling
to have a cover.
It in.
Yeah, but the dread. Jesus Christ, the dread. Oh my God. A fucking week of sitting there going, oh, there's got to be pain.
Wait a second.
It's got to be pain.
You've got about 50 tattoos. You've had it done loads of times 50. Before.
I know, but every time
How
you get
you?
One,
yeah.
and every time you get one, it's more painful than the last one. And the older I get, the more I get afraid of everything. And I'm afraid of everything now that I'm older.
But you obviously forget then.
Yeah.
So it's like
the opposite of drink.
Like childbirth.
I suppose it is.
You know what I mean? You go through all that agony and you think, oh my God, how could I? I'm never doing that again. I think I'd have another kid.
Yeah.
I like the nippers.
Yes.
By the way, I'm assuming that's the case. I mean, obviously, there's women out there go, what?
Yeah.
Like childbirth, is it?
It is, yeah. It's the same as getting
him, that buffoon getting a tattoo.
Same as getting a picture of a pelican on his hole for an hour. That's not what I got, by the way. I didn't get a pelican on me hole. I got a toucan on me arm. It's actually what I got. Yeah.
Which is a lot better because at least you know we can take photographs of that, or you can show it to people.
Yeah, imagine
if you had walked in and I'd have said to you, so what'd you end up getting in the end? I got a pelican on me hole.
Imagine I did.
The last thing I'm going to say is go away. Show us that I'm not going. You know,
imagine,
I'm going to go
no,
right. Well then, that's
here.
A tattoo I'm never going to see.
Yeah, do you want to see it? Come here, look at it. Where look at the way the beak goes right up there. Look, Jim. What do you think of that? You'd be like, Jesus. What is it? Did you get that pelican?
You got the toucan on your arm.
Yeah, you know the toucan. It's like the
like
toucan.
The Guinness bird.
Like that one, except
right,
it's
okay.
not that. It's sort of different. In fact, he's got a Smiddix on his bill this
right,
time because I prefer that.
Yeah.
So now, if you haven't seen it, this must sound like the weirdest tattoo. And he's wearing a scarf and he's got a football.
Yeah.
So
what you're saying is you didn't go for some sort of arty one.
I didn't go for something arty, no. It's the cast of 46 and here I am still having this conversation. Like people always used to say, oh, when you're older, Jesus, you'll regret them tattoos when you're older. I'm nearly 50. When is older?
Yeah.
At what point will I regret it?
Me? Sure, I only got my first one. I was after 50.
Yeah, exactly. And as if you're going to be lying there, lying in your bed one day and you're crocked.
Yeah.
Fucked. Because that's what age does. Your knees be gone. Your hips be twisted. Your back be bent. Your liver do be gangrenous. And your heart fucking beating once a day. And you're lying there breathing like this through probably a gas tank on your back. And then people go, have you any regrets in your life? Yeah.
I shouldn't have got that toucan.
The tattoo. If you could change one thing about your life, what would you change? The fucking football playing parrot on my arm. I hate it.
And it's not like we were ever going to be in the running for jobs where it might have been potentially a drawback.
I know.
It?
People say that. Job stoppers. You know, people say they're job stoppers. And you're like, oh, 46. What jobs am I going to be applying for, do you think?
Look, I'd say the biggest hindrance to me getting a really high-powered job is that I really am just not talented enough.
I know.
I'd say it's very little to do with the fact that I have a tattoo on my arm.
The fact that I never did a fucking leave-in search is the straight thing there. That you start thinking, maybe that's something that would be primarily like more job destructive than the fact that you're covered in tattoos, which I am.
Anyway, listen, so has that gone up on social media yet?
No, I haven't put anything up, actually, no.
Right, so
I don't normally do
your
that.
Your Smiddix-drinking, scarf-wearing, football-playing toucan yet.
And you know something? Because it's described like that, I'm never going to do it. Because that is the best. God knows what people are seeing in their head.
Yeah.
And I want it to be whatever
the
they
think. The image will never live up.
Yeah, your image can never live up to that.
Amazing. Right, listen, by the way, the best bits that we have for you, we're going to give you a little selection of what we went through during the week. There's some crackers in here. We ended up talking, it came about about hecklers, PJ being a renowned stand-up, and somebody asked a question about heckles. It got us to a place where we didn't think, well, I didn't think we were going to end up going anyway, that's for sure, but it's very funny. Hecklers, that's on the way. Also, PJ was having a bit of a moan about his bad feet and how other people with bad feet get much better treatment.
They do, and even
not even people.
I'm bored, once again bored, I tell you, I'm not happy about it at all.
That's what you should have got. You should have got a penguin.
Yeah, well, I'll have to get the arse pelican first.
if you're planning any sort of celebration, we have the ultimate hangover cure. Apparently, we found that during the week. That's an interesting one. And night owls, which is kind of a strange one. Obviously, you know, we're meant to be morning people.
Yeah.
But you've been a devout night owl. What's this bird thing going on?
I don't
night
know.
Night owls.
Yeah.
Toucans. Pelicans on your arse.
Yeah.
Penguins wearing shoes.
It was all
just a very ornithological feel to this podcast.
A very foulish. Although none of them are foul. For God's sake.
Just listen to the best bits of it. Talk to you in a minute.
Good luck.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Si has been on. Your mate, Si, actually.
Ah, how are you, Si?
Saying, morning, lads. Apart from your hourly ones in work, PJ, I certainly don't know what he means by that.
Yeah.
Have you had any memorable heckles on stage over the years? Obviously, Si is having a very contemplative kind
very
of morning.
Contemplative, yeah.
I was just thinking of, you know, I'm on PJ Gallagher. I wonder if he's ever had any, you know, memorable heckles over the years.
Do you know something? It's the ones I saw more than ones I was a victim of.
Have you been? Were you a victim of many?
Ah, you're always. But it's very hard to be. Most heckles are just stupid and pointless. Like, it's very hard. Like, one in every million heckles
get
is
off!
Funny. Oh, no. Just noise. But I've heard some classics.
Yeah.
Like, I'll never forget the one in the Ivy Gardens that year when your man was on stage and this American woman said, excuse me, you're wanted outside. And he was like, who wants me outside? And she goes, everybody inside. She goes,
oh my God.
And
now, you see, that's like, it's one thing to get heckled and then win in the heckle. Then you're sort of, everything's good. You've asserted your dominance.
Yeah.
But oh my, to be burned.
To be owned.
By a heckle.
And the laugh is so
big. There's no way back. You're immediately the second funniest at best
in the room. That's it. At best, yeah. And I saw another fella on stage and he did this huge, big, long joke, right? It was a pub gig, right?
Yeah.
And he was a huge, long joke and he told a punchline and nothing. It was the worst gag. And the fella just stood up and goes, didn't there used to be a pool table in here?
Why is that so good?
I don't know. It was amazing.
It makes no sense, but it's brilliant.
He just stood up in the silence. Didn't there used to be a pool table in here?
He reduced your man to invisibility.
Yeah, he did. Just, yeah, he was there.
Non-existence.
Yeah, I can't believe we got rid of the pool table for this.
Glory Days. The best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
I found my spirit animal. You're getting older, Jim, let's be honest. It can be not only a privilege, it can be a bit of a burden as well.
It can
come
be a
on.
Curse.
It can be. It's a privilege and a curse at the same time.
Things
right?
start breaking down.
And there's an Enrique. Enrique is an elderly penguin. He's a geriatric rock hop copper penguin, is what he is. And he's in a zoo in St. Louis. And I'll tell you something, if anything says geriatric rockhopper penguin more than me, if this were to turn into a human being,
if you left
me.
Him off the penguin, you could easily be described. If I was reading a magazine article about you,
yes.
PJ Gallagher, geriatric rockhopper, 46. I would believe that. That's an apt description.
See, it is. And he's got dicky feet, right? Most penguin rockhoppers, they only live to be 10 years old. He's lived to be at least 30 years old, right?
Wow.
And with that comes its problems. His feet, he's got dicky feet. What do I have? Dicky feet.
Yeah.
How have I every
Your
day?
Plantar fasciitis.
Plantar fasciitis is driving me up the wall at the moment.
Yeah.
And now look at this. If you're a geriatric rockhopper penguin, they've developed these new boots for him, right? Therapeutic support boots, so he can walk around in total comfort. I've seen 3 physios, 2 doctors, and I've been to a chiropodist. And I'm still walking around. No, not one person has decided to say...
Nobody came up with special shoes for your dicky feet.
Not one person. I'm a human being. And nobody came up with showing off with therapeutic support boots.
You've penguin shoe envy from a penguin, basically.
I have absolute shoe envy. They look deadly as well. I'm looking at them here and they've got them. They're sort of black. Oh, your man, the video's gone now.
But oh,
They're black, right? They're like his feet, so they blend in perfectly with what he's wearing already with his feathers and the colours, yeah.
And
they have a red bottom.
I wouldn't have thought that was a priority consideration. That, like, you know,
too right
I don't
there.
Want it to clash.
Too right there. You can't have a geriatric rockhopper penguin turning up with the rest of the lads and it's all like...
What colour are his feet normally?
Red, the orangey red, you know.
Would they not have made it look orangey red?
No, they've done that on the bottom. They're very good. There's all these grips at the bottom so you won't slip off rocks and all. Nice and padded so his calluses. They take them off at night so he can have a good old sleep. They put them on in the morning when they're great for swimming. He can do anything. I still can't believe it. Let me just say it again. 3 physios, 2 doctors, and a chiropodist. And I'm a human being.
Why didn't you go to a vet? You should have gone to a vet.
I might just do that now. I am delighted for Enrique. I'm delighted for him. I think it's brilliant. It's a lovely good news story. It puts a smile on your face.
But you can't help being a little bit resentful.
I'm absolutely positive.
That you don't have anybody to put on special shoes and take them off and all that. And look after your dicky feet for you.
I need them. He gets his feet rubbed and all. The veterinarian comes in and rubs his feet in the morning before he puts the shoes on. He says, because apparently...
Clint, I think he's building up to something here, buddy. I mean, you know, you are the producer. Technically, that makes you his keeper.
Absolutely. Clint, would you ask Jim if he would kindly? Because he's earlier.
I wouldn't be qualified. Clint looks like he's probably dealt with penguins.
I don't know. Clint is...
Probably has to chase them out of his garden and everything and all that.
Clint is enough to do. Yeah, I think it's only fair. You look like you've got a good firm grip. You can get my little webbed feet there in your hand and give them a little mush. Come on, think of it. We both get something out of this.
No, thanks. Oh, my God. No, all I'd get is ill.
Come on. You get to say you rubbed a geriatric rockhopper's feet. Jim, it's a privilege.
It's the very best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
Absolutely. Listen, Jim, we're in good company here.
Woo!
You and me, morning people. Apparently we're great. We're great. We're disciplined. We're reliable. We're people look at us and think, oh, I wish I could be more like...
Are you sure they're talking about us, like?
Well, I'm just saying.
Morning people in general, maybe, but you and I, reliable... trustworthy.
Okay, hold on a minute. Hold on a minute. They say if you're a morning person, right, and you're not more than a night person, and I always say I work for 20, like 3 years or something as a night person.
Yeah.
I suddenly found out I was a morning person, and then you had to live the rest of your life tortured with my presence, unfortunately for you.
I thought you were going to say, I mean, I've worked all my life, well, most of my life, working like in the mornings,
yeah.
You know, breakfast kind of radio, And yet I still don't know if I really am a morning person.
You're not. Jim McCabe, now can I just... I'll tell you the story. So basically, if you're a morning person, you're more likely to be blessed with self-discipline, right? That's what they say.
Right.
And if you're a night owl and you prefer to get up late and go to bed late... Jim McCabe, you're more likely to be seeking out excitement in your life.
Whoa.
So you're an ex-Cyprus
Eagle. That's probably why I had an orange Yorkie there at 8 o'clock in the morning.
You see?
That's the kind of daredevil I am.
You see? This is the thing. The researchers, they investigated this thing. They call it a chronotype, right? And that's your propensity to sleep at a certain time, right?
Right.
That's the science of it. And how it was related to your personality traits and how it comes across through you, in particular as a person. Don't know why it mentioned you, Jim McKay, but don't know. What time you got to sleep? It's sort of due to genetics on one side. The other part is sort of habit, but genetics are definitely there. And they say that you can change your sleep patterns, though, if you want to become a morning person. Why Jim never did that in 30 years? Nobody knows. But you can do it. So with a bit of practice and a bit of rehearsal, it can be done.
It was a revelation for you, wasn't it? Because as you say, like 20 odd years of stand-up, working nights, you know, sometimes very late, getting home, travel, all that sort of stuff. Like you were a proper... What, like in the old days, do you remember in the old days your routine was? Like what time you'd get up at and everything?
Yeah, I'd get up around 11 or something.
Right.
And then I'd dawdle through me day, you know.
Yeah.
But like just dreading the night of going to do the show and being so full of anxiety and stage fright about what that was going to be like. And God almighty.
And then the whole wind down then, after the show.
And then the wind down took hours.
Would you do things like eat after the show and everything?
You'd have to. Because you'd be start immediately after the show because you don't eat well.
Yeah.
Your adrenaline kicks in. And then you have petrol station cuisine in the middle of the night. And then you come home.
It might have been early hours in the morning when you were going to bed.
Oh, it would always be. Days, yeah. Yeah, it would always be. You're talking trees and flowers.
So you literally flipped it on its head then.
Flipped it on its head. Never been happier. Never been happier.
So it was a genuine revelation. Like, oh my God, this is much better.
Yeah, absolutely. I love it, yeah. And then I get to come in and I get to, in the same way I used to get to upset crowds on a grand level, now I get to just to do it with you and face-to-face, person-to-person, same person every day. Like erosion. Like water hitting a rock. Time after time after time, I get to have that effect on you. I mean, it's wonderful.
And now, actually, staying up late is a... Like, that's a real bother to you. Like, not just a bother, it's a real sort of... It's a pain for
you. I hate it.
On the occasions when you're forced to stay up late.
If I see darkness, I'm upset. I get through the summer now, I don't see darkness. I go to bed, it's bright. There's people out cutting grass, there's ice cream vans. I call them all, yeah, you show the tussers go to bed. And I wake up and it's bright. You don't see darkness. I haven't seen darkness since whenever.
So maybe all those years you were suffering from sad.
Well, it was definitely sad, Jim. Thank you very much. And you know the way you're sad now.
I didn't think I suffered from sad.
Well, yeah, I think we all get a bit of the seasonal affect of disorder, don't we? But you definitely, you're the other way. You love staying up late. Like, you still feel hard done by on a Monday because you couldn't.
I do feel kind of like, I do feel a little bit schoolboyish still having to go to bed at sort of like 9 o'clock. You know what I mean?
And like a lie-in for you is a lie-in now, isn't it? Like,
although it's gotten better. I have tried to adopt your philosophy of kind of making the weekends a bit more like the weekdays. Except what ends up happening is I go, right, that's it. I'm not lying in. I'm getting up. Okay, it might only be 8 o'clock. Okay, 9 o'clock.
9 o'clock. A lie is.
I'm getting up. I'm not lying on or whatever. I'm going to do what BJ said and get a routine. The trouble is I get up at that time, but I still stay up till midnight. Or
midnight. Midnight. Unbelievable. It's like
maybe two nights in a week.
I was like, last night I had to go and see a friend's play last night, you know.
Yeah.
I was like, what time's the start? And she was like, 8 o'clock. I was like, 8 o'clock at night? I know, we're not all on cocaine. We're not all out of our mallet on drugs. 8 o'clock to start something in the middle of the night. 8 o'clock in the middle of the night.
Yeah, sure, who'd be out at that stage?
Oh, is there out?
Is there not a curfew?
Yeah, gangsters and drug vandals. Out at that time, I was like, I can't believe it.
8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, I couldn't believe it. It's even now when somebody says, do you want to meet me for dinner?
I mean, I'll go to your play, but I'll have to show up in my pyjamas.
Yeah, I was there. I hope there's a resting area. It's unbelievable. I literally couldn't believe it. Even if I get a doctor's appointment, if I have to go to the doctor and they say, yeah, we have a space there at 5:30. 5:30 at night, I'd be going. Are you joking? 5:30 in the middle of the night? Then what do you think I am?
How did you ever get through your life as a stand-up? That's incredible.
With great difficulty, wow. I will say, yeah.
That's extraordinary.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to say to the doctor now next time. He says, no, we're not all cocaine addicts. He's carrying on cocaine jokers like yourself. You know what sort of person walks into that type of a night.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
It's the early evening.
It's the early evening. It'd be getting dark and you're going home. I don't know what sort of carry on that is.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim.
On Radio Nova.
We are going to talk about our favourite subjects.
Food, yes. Always food. This great survey has been done by Tabasco. You know the way everybody's always trying to figure out what is, honestly, the best hangover cure? What is it?
Because we did this recently and you claimed coffee.
Well, the coffee people claimed it was coffee. Right. We were quite happy to go along with it because we love devouring it.
Because it was good for your liver and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah, it's like apparently 3 to 4, wasn't it? 3 to 4 coffees a day is great for...
Reversing liver damage or something.
Yeah, all of that sort of carry on. Although 3 to 4 coffees a day might not have been that much. That's just fine. Here's me once again saying what I do and telling you it's healthy as if I'm a doctor that knows anything about anything.
I think you're right. I think it was in that sort of neck of the woods.
Oh, well then, excuse me. I would like to be referred to as Professor PJ, if you don't mind.
Dr. Gallagher, we'll see you now.
Yeah.
So what is it now then? The coffee got a thumbs up. That seemed to be good.
Well, I love this one, right? Because they didn't go through medical channels, right? To find out what is the best hangover cure. They went straight to the source. The people who have the hangovers.
Drunks.
Well, I wouldn't refer to them as that. Well, I guess, maybe you're right. They've definitely been drunk at least once or twice. And they said, what is it? And it's as simple as this. It's a full Irish breakfast served at brunch time. So it's a lunch. I hate that word, brunch time.
Do you?
Brunch time.
You see, I hate that. Anything that brings breakfast into something is all right by me.
So basically, it's the all day breakfast.
I'd have Brinner.
If it
was up to me.
I love a nail Brinner.
I'd eat a typical sort of Irish fry up, right?
Yeah.
I would eat that any time of the day.
There's
no point in the day where I would feel, wait, you can't be eating that.
Oh, jeez.
I'd eat it every hour of every day.
Oh, the other day when I went home. And it was amazing. I did that thing where I was like, I didn't prepare anything, you know. Yeah. So I just got sausages out and did sausages and potatoes with butter and black pepper and salt.
Lovely.
And eggs. And it was honest to God.
That's comfort food
I nearly wished I had a hangover.
Yeah.
Because it tasted and felt so good for dinner.
What point does a breakfast, right, stop being a breakfast and become a mixed grill?
I don't know.
Have you ever seen
it's
that?
It's one of
on
the
menus?
Mysteries of the planet.
Yeah, no, we don't serve breakfast after 12. All right. What's in the mixed grill? Sausages, rashers, eggs, beans.
Yeah.
So, like breakfast stuff.
So what's the difference?
Can I get a hash brown with it?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Grand. Can I get a tomato? No, that's a breakfast. No, see what you're doing.
The last thing I'd be asking for is a tomato anyway.
Who are those sickos that put tomatoes on fry-ups? Who are those people? It's
probably the same weirdos that put fruit on pizzas.
They are the same people. Probably. I've always wondered, and you know the way I always forget not to ask not to have it.
Yeah.
Because I always presume the next place I go to won't be that sort of demented individual who'll put a half weird wet ball of dirty water on the side of the plate, which is what a tomato that's been fried is. And every time I get there it is, the dirty half cut ball of dirty water sitting on the side, acting like it's a condiment next to my beautiful sausage.
Because it ends up just being, it's like a side salad on a, you know, when you get things and they put a little bit of side salad, you order, I don't know, a sandwich or something, a toasted sandwich, and then there's a little bit of side salad thing on the side of the plate.
Yeah, and
just garnish.
Yeah, you just
never actually eat it. No, it's decoration.
Push it to the side and hope a dog gets it. Whatever it is. You know, all of that else. You know, it's decorative. Decoration, as they say.
But I'm delighted to hear that there's an endorsement for the breakfast. No matter what time. Okay. So, I mean, the thing about it being a brunch, surely that just means that if you are somebody who, and remember, always drink responsibly, people, you know, but if you are somebody who has overindulged, the reason it's a brunch is because you didn't get up early enough for it to be a breakfast.
That's what it is. That's what it is. And some people say brunch becomes, or breakfast becomes a brunch when you add in another nipple. That's what some people say, isn't it?
Oh, really?
I think for some people, that's it.
Oh, right.
You know
what I
mean? A breakfast becomes a brunch when you add champagne.
Oh, right.
You know, I think it's that way. Or a Bellini. Or one of those cocktails that sounds like, you know,
A Buck's Fizz,
yeah. Or, you know, it's Castaway, isn't it? You get champagne, you put a berry in it, and then it's sort of called something else all of a sudden. You can't say, give us a champagne with a berry in it. You have to go, give us a Buck's Bellini Biz.
Yeah.
Or something like that. You know?
Yeah. Because, like, if you said, yeah, give us a champagne. What? At this time in the morning, what is wrong with you?
Oh, yeah.
All right, sorry. Well, then in that case, give us a Buck's Fizz. Buck's Certainly, fizz. Sir.
No problem, sir.
Would you like mustard, much juice in it?
Well, you know when people say, can I have a Bloody Mary? And if that's okay for breakfast, that's basically vodka soup.
Yeah.
It's vodka soup. And you're sitting there having it for breakfast. That's a great cure. It's not cure. You're drunk.
Glory Days, the best of Morning Glory with PJ and Jim
on Radio Nova.
So there we go. There we have some of the best bits from during the week as part of Glory Days this week. Hopefully you enjoyed them, whether that was the first time you managed to hear them or whether it was your second time round or whatever it is. Thanks for hanging out with us. Anyway, getting back to this business about you and your tattoos, right?
Yes.
When will it all end? Like when you say, like, so you're both your arms are... But they're not really, actually.
No, this arm
you
has
still
to
have
be filled.
A few spots.
When this arm, when my right arm is filled,
right.
When the left arm is filled, that's the end of it then.
What
plan
about
on,
your legs?
No, I've a lot on my legs already, but
you're right.
I've just said the pain, Jim, the pain.
Can we just establish as well that the whole pelican on your hole, that was just a joke?
Oh, that was not a real thing.
Great, okay.
No, no. Can we, definitely get that.
That isn't something that's a future plan.
No,
like
definitely
you didn't,
not.
A light didn't go off and you went, actually, now that you say it.
I was thinking, yeah, an Earth pelican might just be the very thing I need.
And have you ever, like, your approach to tattoos is so, I know lots of people and they have all this kind of, you know, arty thing, and they
know exactly.
And they want, I tell you what I want this vision of it, and they design their own, but you go in and literally just pick them out of a book, do you?
Oh, not even that, I couldn't give a shit. I go into your man, I like him, and
so you walk in and go, come here, draw on me.
No, I go, see that shape there, and they go, yeah, and I say, fill that in with something, I want to fill that in with something like that's traditional style,
right,
and whatever the shape is. So see the way I have the little fella there, the point on his head there had to go around the foot of the little other fella there,
right,
and then there's all this, so it fits the shape. So I just say enter fits. So I have another little shape here now.
Right.
Oh, well,
that's a sort of an oblong thing there now.
I'll put an old fly in there or something. And then, an old fly or something like that.
So, do any of your tats have any sort of significance? Do they mean anything other than they were just filling in a spot?
Well, they just mean general bad life choices, really, to be honest. I wouldn't say they mean anything other than that. You know. No more than any sort of picture book means anything. No, they don't.
Right.
No, they're a bit of crack. They're just things I like, you know.
Yeah. Is there any one of them that's a regret?
Well, I got a three-legged dog by accident. Your man forgot to put the fourth leg on it. He made one leg look like it was bent all around in the circle. And I have a panther and over time his eyes fell off. There's them.
Fell off?
Well, they're kind of gone. You can see it there in my arm.
Does that
eyes.
Mean a piece of your skin fell off? Where his eyes were?
Well, I don't know. It's like it blurred or something. People have said it to me. I never thought about it until someone goes, oh, I like that. Yeah, I've seen tattoos just like that, but you got yours with the eyes removed. I did as well. I didn't know that. It just sort of, just over time and age that you can't see his eyes.
Because didn't you, telling me about somebody who should remain nameless who got a couple of tattoos, and because you know the way a lot of people, as I say, they put a bit of significance on it and they do the quotes and they do the meaningful things and all that sort of stuff, and you said just bought a couple and you had to sort of break the news that, you know, that's not spelt
right. A friend of mine, he got a tattoo spelt wrong, and then he got another one and that was spelt wrong as well. I was there, do you not learn to check the spelling, for God's sake?
Yeah. Or go to a literate tattoo artist.
Or go to a tattooist that can read. There is a lot out there that can read. Like, generally they're intelligent people, a lot of them, you know, artists, you know. Yeah, you don't have to go to the tattoo artist that's doing it at home with a fucking knit needle. Go to the lad that can read.
Spend a few quid.
Good tattoos aren't cheap. Cheap tattoos aren't good. You know what I mean?
Oh. There you go. On those words of wisdom, I think we'll call a halt to another Glory Days.
Thanks for that. Jeebus, I nearly lost my mind. I got mad again.
You've been listening to Glory Days, the best of Radio Nova's Morning Glory with PJ and Jim. Catch the show live weekdays 6 to 10 on FM, online at nova.ie, or on the Nova app.